I want us to spend a few minutes today looking at the 42nd Psalm, Psalm 42. And I'm guessing that everybody here at some time or other has struggled with depression. We all deal with it from time to time. It's just part of life. And it may not be a very much fun part of life, but very few of us can escape it. We have to deal with it from time to time. Some of you may be battling it right now. You know, depression can be a pretty ugly enemy. Now, of course, there are different degrees of depression. You know, we'll go through mild depression. You know, we'll be down for a little while and then we'll come back out of it. And then sometimes we have real serious deep depression. It's severe and it can be devastating to us. And that's not easy to deal with. So, you know, we all have to deal with it though. And I think God's got some things to say to us about that. We live in a time, and I don't want you to misunderstand me now, we live in a time when people think, okay, depression, that means I need medication. Well, sometimes, yes, we do. Sometimes we need medication, and there's nothing wrong with medication when we really need it. There's a time and place for that. But whether we need it or not, there's always a time and place for God's Word. And God's Word tells us how to deal with depression, and whether we're taking medication or not, God can help us with His Word conquer this monster that we call depression. And I want us to talk about that today. I want to say this first. If you're struggling with it, or if you've ever struggled with it, or if you have friends or family members who struggle with it, you're in good company. Because a lot of great people through history have struggled with it. You remember Winston Churchill, don't you? Winston Churchill probably, if there was one person that you had to single out and say he was responsible for the victory in Europe over Hitler, you might have to choose Winston Churchill. He was a great man, but he struggled with depression. If you were going to list the greatest American presidents, one of the ones that would be right at the top would be Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln struggled with depression. He had a time with it. If you were going to list great preachers, one of the greatest preachers who ever preached was a man named Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He preached in England. He struggled with depression. It was a problem that he had through his life. So a lot of great people, not just people of history, but people in the Bible. Moses struggled with depression. David struggled with depression. Elijah struggled with depression. Jonah struggled with depression. You know, it's very common. And David was going through a time of depression when he wrote the 42nd Psalm. And so I want us to hear what God's got to say to us through this psalm. By the way, the introduction to this psalm, a lot of the psalms have introductory words. The introduction calls this a maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L. It's a Hebrew word that means instructional or teaching. It's like God saying, I want you to use this psalm to teach people how to deal with depression. Because David was going through it and God taught him things that we need to learn just as well. So let's look at this psalm. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read several verses from it, beginning in verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food all day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Now I'm skipping down to verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. And Father, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you for this 42nd Psalm. I thank you that even when David was discouraged and depressed and downcast, that you inspired him to write this to teach us about depression and how we can handle it. So Lord, help us to have listening ears and teachable spirits and be willing to listen to what You have to say to us and learn from David and from Your Word how we can handle depression or how we can help others handle depression when they're going through this tough time. So would You please be our teacher now and speak to us and fill me and all of us with Your Holy Spirit and use us for Your glory and help us to learn what You want us to learn in these next few moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I believe God gives us some keys for the cure to depression here, and I want to get there in just a minute. But before we do, I want to talk just a little bit about the causes of depression. I think it helps and it's important if we understand some of the causes. One cause of depression is our personal temperament. Some of us are built so that we're kind of always upbeat. You know, you've ever been around people like that? They're always upbeat and they're fun to be with. They're kind of positive and it's neat. And then some of us are kind of melancholic. We just kind of have that temperament. We have that personality maybe. And we tend to have to fight depression a little bit more if that's our temperament. There's another cause that can cause us to have depression, and that's our physical condition. And a lot of us have to struggle with that. For example, if you don't sleep well, if it's hard for you to sleep, depression will be more likely to hit us. If you have some chronic health issues, and many of us have chronic health issues, that can cause us to be more susceptible to depression. Sometimes we get injured or hurt or sick, and it's hard for us to get healed. That can cause us to be susceptible to depression. When I mentioned Charles Spurgeon a while ago, the great preacher who struggled with depression, he had a severe case of gout. And in fact, it was what caused him to die pretty young. He was only 58 years old when he died. And it was because of complications from gout. And that probably had a lot to do with the fact that he struggled with depression. He had to fight that depression monster most of his life. There's a third cause that sometimes we have to deal with. And this may sound a little weird to you, but sometimes we get on a spiritual high. You know, we get really close to the Lord. It seems like we just feel close and we're on a high and we're walking with the Lord. And sometimes right after those spiritual highs, that's when a lot of times after that's passed, we kind of hit a depression period. It's very common for people to go down emotionally after a spiritual high. One of the best examples of that in the Bible is Elijah. Elijah, you remember Elijah? He went on Mount Carmel and there were 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah. And God just worked a mighty miracle through Elijah and overcame those prophets of Baal and proved that he was the true God. And it was a high moment for Elijah. And then where did we find him next? Well, he's down there under a juniper tree fleeing from Jezebel. And he says, "Lord, just let me die." He's just really depressed after that spiritual high. It happens. Here's another one. Moses. God worked great miracles through Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You remember that? Incredible miracles. The world had never seen anything like that before or since. And God was using him in a powerful way. Well, it wasn't long after that. We read in Numbers chapter 11 that Israel's been griping and complaining and moaning and groaning. And Moses comes to God and Moses prays to God. And this is part of his prayer. He says, "God, I'm not able to carry these people. It's become too heavy for me. So if you're going to deal this way with me, just kill me now." Moses was just depressed, you know. He got down. He said, "If I found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness." He was just miserable, miserably depressed at that moment. So if you go through a spiritual high, or you know someone who a loved one is going through a spiritual high, just kind of be on your guard. Help them be on their guard. The time of depression, or at least the struggle with depression, may be coming up. It just seems to happen that way. Here's another one, a fourth cause of depression. And it's really simple. It's called sin. Sin causes depression. Do you remember Cain in Genesis chapter 4? He brought the wrong offering to God. He didn't bring the offering God wanted, and God rejected his offering. And the Bible says Cain's countenance fell. What that means is he looked gloomy. His face was down. He was down in the mouth. He was depressed about that. And the Lord says something really important to him after that in the next few verses. He says, "Cain, why has your countenance fallen? Why has your countenance fallen, Cain? Why are you looking so gloomy?" He said, "If you do well, your countenance will be lifted back up." if you'll just quit sinning and do the right thing, he said, you'll feel better and you'll show it on your face. And sometimes that happens to us. So when we are down in the mouth, when we are gloomy-faced, when we're depressed, it may be a good time to say, Lord, help me examine myself here. If I got some sin here that I need to deal with, do I have a bad attitude, Lord? Am I beginning to get resentful because other people have things that I don't have? Am I feeling like life's not been fair to me? Am I kind of wallowing in self-pity here, Lord? Maybe I am. And if I am, that's sin, and I want to confess it to you and ask you to help me repent of that. You know, because that'll make us depressed. It will. Another thing that'll make us depressed is sometimes we will behave irresponsibly. I've known guys and people at work who were just down and depressed and discouraged, and it's because they're not working hard at work. They're being kind of lazy. That could happen to a homemaker, a mother at home. You know, she's got work she has to do, and if she gets lazy and she's not really being responsible and doing what she's got to do, she can get depressed over that. She can feel down. And once she starts getting busy and fixing things up, cleaning the house and doing what she's supposed to do, she starts feeling better. You know, that's just kind of the way we're built. So sometimes if we act irresponsibly, it causes us to feel down. We get discouraged. So you may know somebody who's doing something like that. Sometimes we eat irresponsibly and we get depressed. Sometimes we just behave irresponsibly with the jobs God's given us to do. It may be that we're not praying like we should. You'd realize that's a job God's given us. We're supposed to be prayer warriors. And if we've not been doing a good job of it, we may get depressed. We're supposed to be students of God's Word. We're supposed to talk to people and encourage people. And if we get to focus on ourselves too much, it gets to be a sinful kind of thing that leads to depression. So we need to realize that. Here's a fifth cause. Sometimes it's our spiritual enemies. We have enemies, Satan and his demons. And they attack us. And one of their favorite ways to attack is to try to get us discouraged, to try to get us depressed, to try to get us down. And God has given us weapons in His Word. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of peace and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And He says, you have to fight a spiritual war here. And sometimes if we lay down our weapons and we don't fight like we should, Satan will overwhelm us with discouragement and depression. So we got to watch out for spiritual enemies. Here's another one. Sometimes grief causes us to be depressed. You've probably been there. We have loved ones, and maybe they die. I've had loved ones to die. And we sorrow, we grieve, and we should. That's normal. Of course, we don't sorrow as those without hope. We have hope, but we still grieve. And sometimes we get depressed because of losses of loved ones, or maybe stuff. You know, people get depressed when they lose their home. People get depressed when they lose their income, you know. People get depressed when they lose things. So, well, if we've lost things, we can get depressed. That's the kind of depression that hits people a lot at Christmas time. You know, there are a lot of people who get depressed at Christmas. And the reason is they think, well, I used to have money and I could buy gifts and now I don't. Or I used to have loved ones that I celebrated Christmas with and now they're gone. And so we get depressed if we're not careful because of grief. And that's not something we can control necessarily. It's real, but it can cause real depression. And it seems to be the kind of depression that David's dealing with here in Psalm 42. Seems like it was that kind of depression. Because he's kind of talking about being excluded from worship. He had been worshiping at the house of the Lord. And we don't know for sure, but maybe this happened when Absalom... You remember his son Absalom? Absalom rebelled against David, his dad. And Absalom wanted to be king. And so David actually fled Jerusalem. He left the city fearful of Absalom. And of course, he loved Absalom. So David was really torn up about this. And so this may have been when he wrote this psalm. And he's left Jerusalem. He's not able to go worship like he did before. And so he says in verse 2, when shall I be able to come and appear before God? I want to go back. I want to go back and worship God like I used to. Verse 4, he says, I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. So he doesn't get to do that right now. And he's depressed. Not only that, he's got enemies. And these enemies are making things worse. They're rubbing it in. And they're taunting him. And in verse 3, they say, where's your God now? Where is your God? You trust in God. Where is He? He's not doing anything for you now, is He, David? And then in verse 10, he says, there's a shattering of my bones. My adversaries, his enemies, revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? So David's grieving, and this grief has led him into a time of depression. And we see some of the effects. In verse 11, he says, God is the help of my countenance. In other words, his countenance was kind of struggling like Cain's was. He, not for the same reason, it was a different reason, but he was down. He was looking kind of sorrowful. He was looking depressed. And he says, God's the one that can help me here. He's weeping. Verse 3 says he's got tears. He's weeping. And it also says that his tears have been his food. That sounds like he's lost his appetite. Those are characteristics of depression. He's crying. He's lost his appetite. His countenance is down. Now listen. When this happens to us, it's a huge issue. And it's not just us that get affected by this. You see, we can't always control what's going on out there that causes us to have to battle depression. But how we react to it is hugely important. Our countenance, our facial expressions, our attitudes ought to be so that people would look at us, especially people who don't know Jesus, they would look at us and be amazed. They would say, how can you have joy going through what you're going through? How can you have peace going through what you're going through? And it ought to be that when people who don't know Jesus see us going through tough times and losses and in bad health or whatever, they ought to be amazed and they ought to be saying things, wow, I wish I could be like that person. I wish I could be like her. I wish I could be like him, because he's got a trust, he's got a confidence, he's got a peace, he's got a joy that I just don't have. And that's what we ought to be showing. So I believe it's one of the most powerful ways of evangelism that God has, is when he lets his kids go through difficult times and we still show the love of Jesus and the joy of Jesus. And so it's tragic when instead of that, unbelievers look at us and say, wow, I don't want that. I don't want to be like that, because we're so depressed. And, you know, we don't want people looking at us and saying, I don't want what he's got. I don't want what she's got. We don't want to be down all the time so that people say, I don't want that. We want them to want what we've got, which is Jesus, giving us joy and peace. So if you know some Christians out there who are kind of struggling with this, and they're in depression, and their countenances are cast down, you know, I think if some of us could see us like other people see us when we're down like that, we'd say, this won't do. This will not do. I've got to find God's way of getting victory over this stuff, over the circumstances. The circumstances may not change, but my reaction can. And I need to do it. So the question is how? And I want to look at that real quickly. Here's some principles from Psalm 42. First of all, we need to be honest. We need to be honest. Now, there's some people who think, okay, if I just pretend I'm not depressed. No, no, no. Don't pretend. If you're struggling with it, just be honest and admit, I'm struggling with it. That's what David did. He said in verse 5 to himself, he said, why are you in despair? David said, I'm in despair. And in verse 6, he says, oh my God, my soul is in despair. He's talking to God there. My soul is in despair. So he's not just pretending. You don't just put a silly smile on your face and pretend that you're not depressed. That's not the answer. Be honest. Secondly, consider the source. Now, we already talked about the sources. It might be sin. It might be resentment or bitterness or whatever. But it might be that we've been treated unfairly. Or it could be something totally beyond us. It might be that we've been lazy and irresponsible. It might be something beyond us. But David looked at the sources of it in verses 2, 3, 4, and 10. But whatever the source is, what we've got to be careful about is we don't excuse bad thinking. We don't just excuse ourselves because we've got problems. You know, we've got to admit, my reaction can be godly or it can be sinful. You see, I may not be able to control the stuff, but I can control my reaction. So, you hear what I'm saying now? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everything that causes depression is sin. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we better be careful how we respond. How we respond to it, because we can respond in a sinful way. Anger, bitterness, resentment, self-pity, all that stuff. We just need to say, Lord, I confess this to you. It's sin. And let Him forgive me. Now, third thing we can do. Sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. We need to talk to ourselves. Did you pick up that from David? Just make sure it's biblical talk. Just make sure it's godly talk. We talk to ourselves the right way. He does it in verse 5 and again in verse 11. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul? He's talking to himself. O my soul. Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. Hope in God, he says. So he's saying, I got to renounce this self-pity. I got to renounce this stuff, and I got to get my hope in God. Be careful about self-pity. sometimes we want to feel sorry for ourselves, and we want to find somebody else to feel sorry for us too. And if somebody comes on and all they're doing is kind of commiserating with us and feeding that self-pity, that's like poison. That doesn't get us out of it. That just kind of drives us deeper. And God wants us to come out of it. And if you have a friend who's struggling with depression, it's good to love them, and it's good to pray for them, and it's good to encourage them, and it's good to be there for them. But be careful that you don't, or at least try not to feed that self-pity. You know, try to get them focused not on themselves, but on the Lord. And that's what our self-talk needs to do. I need to say to myself, come on, Steve, you know better than to wallow in this self-pity. You know better than that. Remember what God has said. Get your focus on God, not on yourself, Steve. I need to talk to myself like that. We used to sing some choruses. We don't sing them much anymore. Some praise choruses that are based on Scripture. And a lot of them are praise directed to God, but some of them are just directed to ourselves. And there was one, I don't know if you remember this or not, but it goes like this. Break forth into joy, O my soul. Do you hear who I'm singing to? O my soul. I'm singing to myself. Break forth into joy, O my soul. Break forth into joy, O my soul. In the presence of the Lord there is joy forevermore. Break forth into joy, O my soul. And so you're singing to yourself saying, hey, it's time to rejoice instead of just being full of misery. There's another one kind of like it, I bet you'll remember. It goes like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm singing to myself again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's good self-talk. That's right out of Scripture. And we talk to ourselves and we tell ourselves, hey, let's shape up here. Let's get our focus on God. And that's the main point. Here's the fourth one. Focus on the Lord. All through this psalm, I don't know if you noticed it when I read it, the Lord is the focus. He mentions God in every verse. And His main words are, hope in God, hope in God, hope in God. And this is the real way to get victory over depression. We have to change our focus. We have to change our focus. Did you ever have a camera that you had to focus? I had a camera that I had to focus. And if I wanted to take pictures of a flower, for example, up close, I'd use one focus. And if I wanted to take pictures of the mountains out there, I'd use another focus. But it couldn't do both at the same time. I had to either focus on the flower or focus on the mountains. And this is what we're talking about. We have to choose with our attitude, where am I going to focus? Am I going to focus on me and be full of self-pity? Or am I going to focus on God? That's a choice we have to make. And that's what David had to do. And he says in verse 5, I shall again praise Him. I'm going to focus on God. Verse 11, he says, I shall yet praise Him. And I'm telling you, praise will whip depression faster than anything in the world. And let me tell you what I want you to do. I hope you'll take me seriously here and do this now. We need to make lists. We need to make a list of what God is like. Everything I can think of. God is love. God is powerful. God is wise. God is compassionate. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is patient. God is almighty. God is holy. God is righteous. Just all the things you can think about God. And then on the other list, you remember the song we sang a while ago about counting your blessings? We need to make a list like that. Lord, I want to thank You that You've done this and this and this and this for me. You've died on the cross for me. You've given me eternal life. You give me Your peace. You give me Your presence. You give me Your joy. I'm just going to list all these things that You do for me. All the things that God's given us. And then when Satan comes in or when the depression comes in for whatever reason, we need to grab those lists and say, Lord, I want to talk to You just a minute. I want to read this back to You and maybe even try to memorize some of it, get it in our hearts so we can just praise God for what He's done, who He is, and what He's like, and get our focus on Him. In verse 8, David called God the God of my life. That's worth meditating on. He's the God of our lives. In verse 9, he says, You're God my rock. That's worth meditating on. He's our rock. In verse 11, he says, You're the help of my countenance. That's worth meditating on. And many other characteristics of God we could list. So whatever's getting you down, and it may be family members. You know, it may be family members. It may be people who work here. It may be some friends here. It could be financial problems. For many of us, it's health problems. Whatever it is, there's nothing wrong with talking to brothers and sisters about it. That's a good thing. And praying, helping each other pray about these things. But ultimately, we need to get our perspective right. We need to get our focus on God. and realize that He's not going to leave us. We've talked about that before. Hebrews 13:5, worth memorizing. He has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He promised He'd be there forever. Jesus, was some of the last words He said before He ascended, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's going to be with us all the way through. He's not going to leave us. So we need to keep our focus on Him. I read one time about a man who was a captain of a ship, a sailing ship, and he was teaching his son how to sail. And a storm was coming up, and the son had climbed up to the top of the top mast, but before he got back down, the storm hit, and the ship was tossing, and the son was up there going back and forth, and he started to climb down, but the wind was blowing hard, and the waves were tossing, and he was looking down, and he was getting dizzy, and he was getting kind of giddy, and his father could see that his son was disoriented and was danger in falling, maybe dying. And you know what his father said to him? He looked up and said, son, look up, look up, son, look up. And the son finally got the idea, and he looked up. And when he looked up, he could climb down because he wasn't looking at all that junk and mess and waves and everything down below, and he got down safely. And I think when we're going through depression, it's almost like we need to hear the Lord saying to our hearts, child, look up. Look to me. I'm going to be your source of hope. I'm going to be your source of strength. And you keep looking up and let me drive out the depression and let me fill you with hope. That's the key. Father, thank you for your assurance. Thank you for this powerful psalm that you've given us. And thank you that you've told us how to conquer depression. Would you please forgive us, Lord, when we wallow in self-pity, or when we act and behave irresponsibly, or when we get resentful, or when we get bad attitudes. Lord, would you forgive us of this, and would you help us in the place of that to learn to focus on you, to praise you, to walk with you, to be thankful for all the blessings you've given us, and let you fill us with your joy and your peace that passes understanding. Thank you, Lord, that we can have victory over this monster depression. Thank you that Satan doesn't have to win, that Jesus defeated him on the cross, and when he shed his blood for us and conquered death and hell and Satan and the grave forever. And we thank you that in Jesus we have eternity with you. We have an eternal life ahead of us with great joy and great hope. And Lord, we pray that we would remember these things when we're tempted to be discouraged. And we thank you for all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. All right, let's sing another song.